Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Welcome to the Journey. Six broadcast.
Very carried my sin far away. Rising, he's justified. Read me forever. Jesus is coming back, oh glorious day. Well, didn't he love me?
Amen. Only Bertie carried my sins far away. Welcome to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. It's wonderful to see you and be with you one more time. We are excited about having a wonderful lesson here on this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us get busy and get started. We offer also at first the contact information, the call-in number or the text number is 804-313-7853, 804-313-7853. Our email is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com, all one word spelled out. It's goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. This is Sunday school night, and we have a chance to look at the International Sunday School lesson, and we're going to jump into this, and we're still in Hebrews, and we're going to talk a little bit today about another aspect of the particular lesson. Remember, it's not my ambition or goal, desire, to teach the Sunday school lesson before Sunday. My goal and desire is for to raise up teachers, in the land, and that somebody might be a blessing to somebody else. To raise up folk in the land with a lesson and to go about. So I want to show what has worked for me as I approached teaching a Sunday school lesson, and I sat under who had to be the best. I mean, he was a hard worker in teaching this lesson, and from him I learned a lot, and so that I'm sharing. It does no good sitting here with me. So every week we come and we understand that some of the Sunday school lessons are not available yet in print for the year or for the annual or even the quarter, and because of the supply chain issues. And so we hope to work with that even, that we can explain and expound on the lesson that those who are in a teaching capacity or those who are students in the classes can gain something from this Thursday night experience. So we want to approach the lesson and get right into it. We want to today go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And we know that this particular lesson is the last in the unit theme. That is, what is faith? Faith is a wonderful subject, and we know the answer to that question was in the first lesson. What is faith? Well, faith, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. And so we go from there. We look at our subject last week was faith is endurance, coming from the first one-third of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Faith is endurance. It's faith that helps us run the race that the Lord has set forth. Nothing but faith. Our quarterly theme, September, October, and November, our quarterly theme, 13 lessons, are a living faith. And so the first thing we do is scan or speed read or read for enjoyment, fellowship, those 13 lessons. We read through those, the books that cover those. And quarterly theme, a living faith. And then our unit theme for September, which we're about to close out, because guess what? Today is the first day of fall, and it's breezy outside. The leaves are turning and falling all over the place. We had a nice rain shower today that kind of washed away some of the dryness that we've been experiencing. And so it is the end of September. It's state fair time here. And we're looking at what is faith. That's our unit theme for September. So we're going to close that out. Again, we say, what is faith? If I ask you what is faith, you'd be able to quote Hebrews 11:1 from this series and say, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let's do it again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then last week we talked about so without faith it's impossible to please God. We talked about first third, I said, of Hebrews 12, And then today, we're going to go a little deeper into Hebrews 12, where the author uses some really strong language. And we're talking about what the faith that we have, and that a faith is not only assurance that it was last week, but this week we got gratitude. Our gratitude is inspired by our faith. Faith inspires gratitude. That is our theme for the week on Jeremiah Speaks. Theme for the week is gratitude. We had a message on Tuesday from my sister in the faith, the Reverend Dr. Bessie Wiggins, was the attitude of gratitude. And we've come this evening to talk about faith inspires gratitude. So if we're looking at this lesson, we're going to break the lesson down. Hebrews 12, our printed text is verses 18 through 29. That's our printed text. But there's background. And so our background is we stopped last week at verse 11. So verses 12 through 17 are background text. There's some powerful information in there. There's some discipline in there in those verses. So if we're setting up and preparing to teach or study this lesson, must cover those verses. Here's one of the reasons why. Because when we look at, I mentioned this last week, when we look at an international Bible study that's set up to work somewhere between 3.5 to 7 years, that the design is that you will have covered the whole Bible. That the maybe not every word of Lamentations, maybe not every word of First Chronicles, excuse me, but essentially we've covered the whole Bible. But the way that they do that is they assign devotional readings. Most Sunday school books will have a devotional reading Monday through Saturday. They assign background readings, and then they assign the printed text. So the only way we can cover the whole Bible, having said we read it and familiar with all of the concepts and the material, is to read the background and to read the daily devotional verses that come from all over the Bible. And then they plug those in. So one, you wake up one day and you say, wow, I've covered this whole Bible, not just in reading every word, but I've covered the Bible concepts. Like now we're on faith. Then we're going to go to love. And we go to peace. We kind of go through and work through the whole Bible, the concepts, the gifts, the commandments. We work through all of those things. And so here we are today, Hebrews 12. Let's break this down. The key verse, or the golden text from the 12th chapter, is verse 28. And we hone in on verse 28. In fact, I should even pull this up. Let's pull up verse 28 and read it now. So last week we talked about the key verse. Some people like to learn the key verse, and then they come in and want to recite that in front of a class. Sometimes that's a good assignment for somebody that's really digging and trying to go deeper in the word. So Hebrews 12, verse 28, it reads as thus, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We're going to receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Remember, this key verse oftentimes, most of the time, represents a quick summary of the whole selection. And so we're going to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken or cannot be moved if it is shaken. Our lesson aims are to know the meaning of God's forgiveness and promise, to explore our fears about death and assurance of God's love and of its eternal life, and repent for sometimes rejecting the grace of God. The sad part of this is that all of us at some point reject what God has to offer. Sometimes we are sharp enough, humble enough, that we come back around and accept it again, but sometimes we don't know what we're missing because we didn't spend enough time with God and studying his word. Now, the quarterly theme, a living faith, unit theme, what is faith? This lesson is the last, which is the last of the lessons that's wholly taken from Hebrews. It's the last run-through of the six trusted friends. Remember I said that the simplest of simple writing class in the ninth grade, I have six trusted friends that taught me all I knew, what, when, where, why, how, and who. And then we set these up in the first week, and most of them remain the same throughout this whole Hebrews. So what I just named, what was the quarterly theme, the unit theme in today's lesson. When, it was Hebrews was written between 67 in 69 A.D. And here's a little tidbit about Hebrews. If you just threw all of the 66 books of the Bible on the table, just you know, all of the books spread out all over the table and mixed them all up, and someone asked you to separate the New Testament from the Old Testament, more than half of the time we get Hebrews confused because of its content with the Old Testament. Because Hebrews is Old Testament language as a New Testament book. The center column reference for Hebrew is also small print because there are so many references to the books of the law. Hebrews is written for those folk that know the law, have some kind of understanding and an obligation to the law. So it's constantly repeated. We'll see today Exodus and Deuteronomy are the focus of these references this time in this message. It's Exodus and Deuteronomy. Lots of quotes from them, and lots of leaning on that particular set of scriptures. So it must remain, looks like an Old Testament book, but it's actually a New Testament book written to Jewish Christians that were scattered. Where it was, there's no information, good information on where it was written from, but the traditional title of the Hebrews was tagged as written to the Hebrews who were scattered abroad. Why was it written? It was written to tie up the loose ends of Jesus being the fulfillment of the Levitical law. Hebrews repeatedly says we have a great high priest. We have a great high priest. We have a great high priest talking about Jesus. It talks about the promise. The Hebrews writer offers that description of Jesus as the promise. The promise being not available in the Old Testament. It was just a promise in the Old Testament. We hear this a lot, that all Bible books, all of the Old Testament points to Jesus, and that Jesus is present in every Old Testament book. But he's present oftentimes as the promise. But in Hebrews, it said the promise has come. The law has been fulfilled. We have a great high priest. We don't have to go before him with animal sacrifices and the blood of animals anymore. But we have a great high priest with an everlasting sacrifice that he did on the cross at Calvary, and his name is Jesus. So it was written to tie up those loose ends. It was written to for the fulfillment of the promise. The address is to address confused, unconvinced Jews regarding their Christianity. And the first week we said, take a look at your church and see if you're not divided also into these three groups. It was also written to reassure once convinced believers in the face of adversity. You know, some people, when you call them out, when you question them, when you chase them a little bit, they run. They take off. They abandon what they stood on and believed in. And that's what he's saying to the Hebrew Christians is, don't do that. Don't run. They're going to come after you. You haven't seen anything yet. Great persecution is on the way. And he's saying, remember, the temple was destroyed in A.D. 70, probably a year or two after this book was written, and Christians were persecuted. Well, he's telling them to get ready, load up your, gird up your loins, because the enemy's coming after you. But you have something that everybody else doesn't have. You have Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. You can lean and depend on Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Finally, who Hebrews is addressed to three groups of believers. Just like the church today, believers who are sold out for Jesus Christ. The second group of believers is unbelievers who were intellectually convinced by the Gospels. And then the third group is unbelievers who were attracted to Jesus Christ but just had not found the conviction about him. So then I said, carefully examine your church or your associations and ask yourself, is that our situation in the modern church, that we have born-again saints of God for sure? Then we have people who faithfully attend church and even love Jesus but are not truly born again or sold out for Christ. And when they hear that somebody's persecuting the church, they're the first ones to run. And then the third group is unbelievers who like to hear the word. You know how some folks just show up in church because they like that preacher. They like the way he put the words together. They like the way the choir sings. They like the way the church feels. They like the way the people treat them in church. They just like the idea that they went to church and had devotion, but they're not sold out for Christ at this point. There's many reasons for attending church and worship. We welcome all of them. We welcome any reason that is decent in the sight of God. We go into the lesson. The International Sunday School expects that we have adequately, said this earlier, through devotional background and printed text, covered the concept of faith in a large chunk of Hebrews here. Remember the Hebrew writer, he's so hard and tough and straightforward. Hear what he says to scattered Christians. Now, I'm going to take a step back. This is not in the series, but I'm just fascinated with this Hebrew writer who writes like Paul, but is not Paul. So listen to what he says in chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. The writer says in chapter 5, of whom we had many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, let me say that again, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracle of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. That's a powerful statement. But he goes on and says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. To that I say, ouch. Have you ever heard anybody, sometimes we've said it ourselves, ever heard anybody say, well, you know, I'm not at that church anymore because, well, I wasn't getting fed there. And I'm looking at them like the Hebrew writer and saying, you 50 years old. You still waiting for somebody to feed you? You ought to be feeding somebody else. Imagine if your neighbor came to you and said, you know, I'm moving out of mama's house. Mama won't feed me like anything anymore. And you're looking at your neighbor and say, you 50 years old. You ought to be feeding somebody else by now. Let the church say amen. Let's get into this lesson. Again, I'm not going to do much with the verses. My focus is how to receive what looks like an innocent, simple enough Sunday school lesson. Tonight I wish to single out the purpose of the introduction. Usually at the very beginning of the lesson, they'll give the quarterly theme, the unit theme. Then they give an introduction. Show a paragraph or a story followed by 1 to 3 questions for discussion. Looks innocent enough, but it's important. But these introductions are often door openers for great discussion. However, sometimes it leads to conversation that's not related to the lesson, especially conversation about people rather than concepts or aim of the lesson. So if you're taking notes tonight, here's one of my points. I'll say this again in the coming weeks. One of the points about Bible study is this rally about people. Now, if we're studying Moses and we're studying the life of Moses, then yes, it's about people. But most of the Bible studies and discussions are really about concepts. They're about what we call doctrine. We're looking for doctrine in the Bible that shows us how to live a life that brings us closer and closer and closer in union with Christ. It's hard to get in closer union with Christ by examining a person. So we're looking for doctrine. And the writer of Psalms 119 talked about doctrine, precepts, principle, God's word, God's law. Those are the things where we are turning to look to learn more about God. And so what will happen in an introduction to a Sunday school lesson is there'll be a beautiful story about these three people, and they had this wonderful relationship, and they went on a vacation or something, and something happened. We must, as a leader of this conversation, keep the focus on the concept and the unit theme as well as the weekly theme, because sometimes there's somebody in the class that wants to talk about the person. I have a couple people in my life that just the best of folk. I mean, the best of folk. And I say, you know that guy, I saw him down at the store, and he was telling me that we're going to have a bad thunderstorm this evening. So the guy down the store, and the fellow that I'm telling the story to, he say, what color shirt he had on? And what's that got to do with the story? No. Is that the guy with the blue shirt on? We sometimes get sidetracked, and we chase down the person and ignore the thunderstorm. I wish I had a witness. Is that in a Sunday school setting, oftentimes with an introduction that somebody does not really follow, it is easy for the milk part of us, the desirous of milk part of us, to want to go to the person and talk about the person rather than the concept that's concealed in this introduction. So the introduction is designed to be a summary of the whole lesson when you discuss it with the questions that are provided. So lots of time went into preparing these introductions, so take them seriously. They are written by Bible scholars whom your class has never met, and oftentimes they are a disconnect for your class, and the lesson sometimes is not perfected because of that disconnect. The introduction should be similar in aim as the summary. So where am I going? So when in your introduction, you need to make sure it matches your class. I sent a series of books back. They sent me to try these books, and I sent them back. I said, I didn't want my money back. And the reason why, I said, you got a lot of pictures in this book. Not one of those pictures looks like my students. Not one of them. So why would I have my students sit through all these pictures of people that don't look like them? I want them learning with pictures that include all kinds of people, not just people that don't look like them. Then that's the way that some of the introductions are. And so here's something that as a teacher I could do, is that just like last week, I said I may have a person who has a good memory or a person that's trying to build a good memory, a person that's trying to learn scripture and grow closer to God, and I may assign that person or allow them to volunteer to do the key verse next week. And they might want to do it, memorize and recite the key verse every week. That's getting some scripture there. And then I might want to come back with somebody else that I know has left brain or right brain. Anyhow, they're creative. They are creative. They have writing skills. They can see things beyond the surface. I might want to assign them. How about you do the introduction for next week's lesson? And Brother Joe, how about you do the introduction for the fourth Sunday lesson? And then have something that's fresh that's related to us. And then come in with the same two to three questions that cover that. The introduction should be very similar to the summary. That just in getting into the introduction of the lesson, you feel like you have a really good feel for where this lesson is going. So now you got a key verse and an introduction. If you can grasp those two things without reading the first verse, you've still already gotten the grasp of the lesson. It was interesting in the theater that when I joined the theater, I felt guilty being on stage and people bringing me stuff. And people setting up props and stuff for me. So I said, you know what, I'm going to learn the whole theater. I'm going to try to do every job in the theater. So I tried backstage, and they wouldn't let me work backstage because they said I made too much noise. I wouldn't shut up. So we had a lighting workshop. We got to the lighting workshop. This man came in from the Eastern Shore of Maryland. He had all these accolades and whatnot. And he broke down and he said, look, you're going to get your lighting certification today. We worked all day on lighting. I thought we were just going to cut lights on and adjust them and shine them all over the stage. But we worked on lighting diagrams. So everybody had to work on a lighting diagram. We had to have the script for a show that he brought. And we would do a lighting diagram for certain acts in that show or for certain scenes, actually. And he said that once you've mastered lighting, once you've got your lighting certification and you do the light design for a show, you tell the same story that the actors and actresses tell, that your lighting design is just as important as the best actor. And so you have to be careful and make sure your design tells that story. Went back a few months later. Now I'm going to get my sound design certification. So I got my sound certification. And the sound guy, guess what he said? Sound guy said, when you get your sound certification and you can set up a sound design for a scene, the sound in a scene tells the story just as good as any actor on the stage. And so what I found out is every department holds that same claim, and that's the truth here, is that the introduction ought to be able to tell the story of this lesson just as well as the summary does. And it does it with the discussion questions and the broadness of the appeal. So oftentimes we pass over that not realizing how important that is. You have three parts. There's the introduction, tells the story. Then the summary comes back with a summarization. It tells the same story. And then you come back, in the middle of all of that is the body. The printed text tells the same story. So in the course of a lesson and the key verse, in the course of a lesson, you actually have four shots of telling that same story. So now we've done all of that. We've done the introduction. And the introduction should be similar in aim as a summary. Now watch this. Recently I took my car to the shop. The shop foreman asked me to define the problem, and he interpreted it. The next step, once it was diagnosed, the mechanics worked on repairing what was diagnosed as a problem with my car. And then the third step is they gave me the bill. Now, the bill defined all the work that was performed. So steps one through three were all about the same thing. Step one is the intro. It was the diagnosis. Step three was the summary. It was the bill. And they were so similar. And then step two, of course, was the body of work that took place to make one and three the same. That's the same way the Sunday school lesson works, is that the introduction introduces you to what we're going to accomplish. And right around the time of the introduction is when we talk about the lesson aims, the key verse, and we set it up. Now, I'll say this, where I come from, everybody is not in Sunday school when the thing opens up. They kind of filter in as they get out of bed, I guess, on Sunday morning. But so one of the things you want to be careful with is not to tell a portion of the story that's key to the story, not to explain a section of scripture that's key to the story when you know 10 people haven't even come into class yet. So that's where the introduction door opener gets things going, and we're now talking about all the things that went on and how that leads into this story. And then as we get into the body, everybody's in place. And then we come back with a summary and summarize it. So that's the way it works with the Sunday school lesson. And the lesson summary reflects the introduction in a more detailed manner. And step two, of course, is the body of work, which is the teaching. And, yes, we have revelation in Sunday school. If we are spiritual, we can have revelation from the word in Sunday school. So then... so often it's wise to supplant the book introduction or supplement it with one of your own, which may be more relevant. Lesson aims, explore our fears about death. That's the example from today's lesson. Is one of the lesson aims, explore our fears about death and God's example in the assurance of his grace. For his grace is wonderful. I want to get to now the backgrounds. Definitely need to read the background for this one, the warnings of disobedience. And then he speaks about the concepts of peace and holiness, without which no man shall see God. And then he uses the example in verse 15, chapter 12, verse 15, the writer uses this example. Be careful to not be like Esau. Esau got out in the field. He got delirious on his way in. He smelled the good food. He smelled the lentil soup. And so he decided that he might starve to death if he didn't get some. He didn't have any catch any game for the day. He didn't pick any fruits or berries, and he was hungry. He was legitimately hungry. But then his senses began to detect that lentil soup, and it smelled so good. And so he was foolish enough to sell or give away his birthright in exchange for a pot of soup when he said, what good is the birthright going to do me if I die from hunger? He wasn't going to die from hunger. The Hebrew writer says, be careful that we don't run into sin that way. Be careful that not to make sure that she doesn't look so good that she'll make me compromise what I believe about God and put myself in a way where the evil one can run over top of me. We need to be careful to not step into witchcraft and idolatry and other entanglements that could entrap us and tie us up and surrender our provisions which God has placed for us, surrendering our own grace because we are covetous of worldly stuff. There's no car so shiny that we got to compromise who God is in our lives. I'm about to wrap this thing up. It's been mighty good. But finally, the Hebrew writer talks about the shaking. And that this shaking, read it for yourself, this shaking no man can stand. Nobody can withstand this shaking. Compares the shaking to the shaking on Mount Sinai when Moses went there. And when the children of Israel saw the whole mountain shaking, and he's saying the only way to withstand that shaking is to not be moved because we are rooted and grounded in Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. It's been a wonderful time. Thank you for tuning in with us on the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. And now stay tuned for the fivefold ministry. May the Lord bless and keep you. Heaven smile upon you. Amen. Our contact information is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com, and our phone is 804-313-7853.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. rising, he justified and freely forever. Jesus is coming back, oh glorious day. Living, he loved me, sing along. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified, freed me forever. One day he's coming back, glorious day. Sing it. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified, freed me forever. One day he's coming back, oh glorious day. Living, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified, freed me forever. One day he's coming back, oh glorious day. Amen. We want to you to tune in with us on Monday evening. We have Testimony Monday, a powerful word coming on Monday, and the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast also on tomorrow evening. We'll see you here tomorrow evening.
Man sings, change me. And truly, we love the Lord and we want the Lord to come into our hearts and change us so that we can be better Christians for our Lord. As we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection, our Lord who have died for us. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. If you would like to contact us, our email address is ffmw.inc@verizon.net. Again, that is F like five, F like four, M like W, M like ministries, W like worldwide, .inc@verizon.net. We're going to listen to some gospel favorites. We're going to start off with Reverend Carlton Pearson as we sit back and abase ourselves. Truly, we have had a busy week. We want to take our shoes off, just relax, and just glorify the Lord. Amen. Let us go into the inner courts. Amen.
Make me think of them things with little hats on, sometimes they have a little neck. I guess to keep the hair together. The women wore them stockings you couldn't see through, you know, them white. You know about it, Elder Vincent. And they was always, and see, we were an oppressed people, pressed on the job, oppressed in the home, not much money, very little, if any, education, and low caste. I mean, God has brought us from a long way. Some of y'all know. Especially Pentecostal people, you know. We you know, God had to go among those who were not too proud to say Rosa Handoloba, and didn't know what they were talking about. And rolling in the dust and doing some of those things they did. I remember they used to kind of froth at the mountain. They'd bring toilet paper in there when they were telling us they was getting purged. And I was saying, Lord, don't purge me, but you know. And we were fasting and praying, and none of us had very much money, and we didn't have anything in the promise of our future but Jesus. And some of the old saints used to stand up in testimony service. It looked like the Lord would just give them songs just hot off the wire. Maybe out of their prayer life. You know what I look like. But what was happening there? Something way down on the inside. One of the old mamas would get up and sing a song, and they'd look right at you and say, oh, to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Come on and help me sing it quieter.
Yes, Reverend Carlton Pearson sings the old songs of Zion. Truly, you know, those melodies were so important when you used to go to church with mom and grandma, and you just felt like that you can just keep going on no matter what was happening in your life, that you was uplifted and inspired. I would like to play at this time, and this is our disclaimer, that we play music that belongs to various artists. We like to promote and worship God and use those songs to glorify the kingdom. So this is the promotional reasons only why we play those songs, to inspire, to exalt, and encourage you. Let us listen to Bishop Marvin Winans' I Feel Like Going On. God bless you. You know, when you walk with the Lord, truly you want to feel like you can go on through his promises, through the word, and to know that God can do anything but fail. I used to love going to the church with my mom and just hearing all of those rich sounds of music. And I was so touched, especially when I used to hear Reverend Walton Hawkins sings Going Up Yonder. Let us enjoy it and listen to it at this time. Amen. I was so inspired that truly I wanted to go to heaven after I heard all the good praise sound and everything. I was like, oh, my God, it is so beautiful. And then, you know, the choir would come in and just sing a melody, especially, you know, when you hear the saints get in and the old mothers would sing that I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Let us listen to Brian Thomas at this time as he go in to sing, I'm a soldier. Amen.
I'm a soldier
in the army of the Lord.
I'm a soldier, yeah.
In the army.
I'm a soldier
in the army of the Lord. Let me die.
If I die, let me die. Yeah.
good God.
Yes, he is.
God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
Oh, God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
Yes, our God is a good God. Yes, he is. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. Each week you can hear us on this radio dial. We encourage you to listen to us through the week as well on Sunday mornings as you prepare for your Sabbath and get ready for the house of the Lord. Amen. So God bless you. Let us get back to worship and praising God. And I love the songwriter has said, what he has done for me. Good God Almighty. I know God has done a lot of things for you and all of us. So let us listen to Reverend Clay Evans and the Fellowship Choir. Amen.
What have you done for me? What have you done for me? I can't forget. What the Lord has done for me, I was profound, but right now I'm free. Oh, I praise the Lord, that's what he's done for me. What he's done for me, what the Lord has done for me.
That the Lord has done a lot of things for you, you, and you. If God doesn't do it, it can't be done. Don't you know that your God can do anything but fail? When you get in fellowship with God, you will understand better that he is your supplier. He is everything that you need. He will stand in the gap for you, and he will fight your battles. Let us listen to Bishop Carson Pearson at this time so that we can just enjoy the songs of Zion that says that, you know what, that God can do anything but fail. Let us enjoy the worship. Amen.
When the morning comes, but as soon as I started singing, she started moving a little head. I never did know the verse, but I sang it through one time, and she said, she looked at me, she said, they've been making noise in that nursing home. She said, but it ain't our kind of noise. We'll understand it better, I said, by and by, Mother. She went like this. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, come on. Off the seas of bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist have rolled away, we will understand it better than time. Sing it, everybody. When the morning comes, all the saints of God, we will tell the glory.
You know that, Dad? Come on. Pop one. Come on, sing the book. Come on.
Bye.
Yes, when you fellowship with a group of believers, you understand better. And by, as the songwriter says, that it makes you understand even more that we need to hold on to God's unchanging hands. God bless you today. As I said, you just sit back, a base, relax yourself. Tune in to us each week so you can enjoy the worship and hear some good teaching. We just thank you so much for tuning in. And I love the other song. They say that God's unchanging hand with Reverend H.B. Charles Jr. God bless you. Let us enjoy it at this time.
It is.
Have to hold on to God's unchanging hand. That's what I love about the Lord. He changes not. He is consistent today, tomorrow, and every day. You know, it's just another day that we just love the Lord, and we just want to keep it in worship and feel that experience of praise. As Bishop Marvin Winans always sing, just another day. Matter of fact, let us just play it now so we can just continue to abase ourselves and Reverend Scott. Amen.
2135 Mack Avenue. And one of those mothers would stand up and say, just another day. That the Lord has kept me. Yeah, y'all don't know nothing about this. Just another day that the Lord has kept me. He has kept me from all evil.
Yes, yes, yes. Just another day. Each and every day is just another day when we turn it over to the Lord that He has us. He can do anything but fail. Especially when we have to go through those storms, we have to leave it at the foot of the cross, because if God can't do it, it just can't be done. I would encourage you that as you go through the storms, as the mighty clouds of joy say, just turn it over to the Lord, and He shall and will straighten it out. God bless you. You listen to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. Amen.
I've been in the
You know, when we've been in a storm, we've been through a lot of challenges in our life, and when our back is up against the wall, if we can't do anything else, we got to reach out and know that our God is able. When you change your life and ask God to come into your life and you accept a death, burial, and resurrection, believe me, you will have that power through the Holy Ghost that no matter what that storm is, that you are able to go through. You know, Tamela Mann sung a beautiful song as we close out our broadcast, and it says, change me. All of us need to look in the mirror each and every day, and if you see anything, God, that's not pleasing in your sight, change me so I can walk better before you. Amen. Please listen to us each and every day through the week and on Sundays as we glorify God. God bless you, and let us end out with Tamela Mann and Change Me. Amen.
Save me, oh God. Make me more. Love.
God bless you and be blessed. And remember, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. Enjoy your evening. Bye-bye.